The need for better transit now. If you commute to work or school, chances are you're sick of bus pass-ups, crowded SkyTrains, and lack of transit options. This week, Vision Vancouver launched a Better Transit Now campaign to lobby the province for more transit funding. In the coming decades, Metro will grow population-wise by at least 1 million people, and those people will need to get around. Today we're joined by a mom, a student, and a Vancouver City Councillor who will explain their daily commutes and share their transit wishes and dreams. What would Better Transit Now look like for you? And Jeff Meggs, I'll start with you because you took the time to come in to the studio, and I know you use transit a lot yourself personally.
It worked well for me this morning, but I'm fortunate because I live downtown. I think that one of the main commuter targets for any transit expansion has to be all the people who are living out in the suburbs who would like the transit option for at least part of their trips, but have seen TransLink over the last couple of years tighten up service, reallocate to busier routes, and drain some of those outlying areas of service that would grow ridership over the coming years. But we'd love to see more rapid transit around the region as well, including along our Broadway corridor.
I got a cheeky tweet just a minute ago. Darlington says, buy a car and enjoy privacy, air conditioning, freedom, no bad smells, no pass-ups, no switching problems. And I read that in part because Haley Wooden is a student at Kwantlen Polytechnique University. Haley, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You can relate to that tweet, I think.
Yes, I can. I work at Kwantlen full-time. I also take classes here at the Surrey campus. And it's just completely more convenient to drive into work and to drive into school. You don't have to put up with waits. You don't have to put up with other people, crowded buses, all of that. So I drive to work every day.
But you wanted to use transit. You tried it. You used it for years.
I did. I'm a journalism student, and the program used to be based at the Richmond campus. I myself have lived in White Rock and South Surrey for a number of years, and I spent about 2 hours every morning going into campus. It's time as a student that's great for studying, taking notes, doing your reading. So when you're driving, you can't be doing that. At the same time, it's 2 hours out of my day and about an hour coming back outside of rush hour traffic.
Janet Moore, you have found a bit of a solution. I'm told you commute primarily by bicycle.
I do. I'm lucky enough to live close to where I work, and I think that was a decision to find work and home in the same sort of area. So we have one car, and we bike most of the time.
Do you use transit?
Sometimes if it's a really rainy day and I need to be putting on something a little fancier, then I'll jump on the SkyTrain, ride my bike there, and so I use multimode probably.
What would make your life better from a transit perspective?
Well, I also take my kids to school by bike, and I think trying to educate the next generation about how to bike, the only way to do that is not to show them PowerPoint slides, it's to actually get them on their bike. So I'd love to see family-friendly bike routes. Maybe it's only for the first hour of the day when school's going in, but if there was one way to get to school, we could all just be on our bike. So I can imagine a lot more families making that choice.
It's interesting, Jeff Meggs, that Janet talked about the next generation. People our age who've not ridden a bike on a regular basis aren't likely to convert, but the city is doing a lot to make the city more bike-friendly and bike-safe. But is it a serious option to transit, or is it just a bit of an add-on?
Well, I think it's an option for some people some of the time, and that's a choice only the commuter themselves can make. So we need to work right across the spectrum. I think the backbone of it, though, will be transit investment for weather and time reasons and so on. And people's needs change. It's great if people can get that bicycling habit when they start as young people going to school. Later in life, they may, as one of your guests has said, see their work pattern change. I talked yesterday to a postal worker who's working in the downtown plant. His job is moving out to the airport on the Iona side, and he now takes the SkyTrain from Newton down to his job. He's not sure how he's going to get there when it's moved over to Richmond. So, you know, people's lives change, and the transit system needs to be able to evolve and support those changes. And I agree with the comments about a car. There's nothing better, actually, than a nice, quiet ride to work, listening to Bill Good, whatever you're doing. But that's not going to work for a lot of people. They can't afford it, or their lives simply won't.
Well, let me ask listeners, what would Better Transit Now look like for you? 604-280-9898, toll free, 1-877-399-9898. The need for Better Transit Now. What would Better Transit Now look like for you? Councillor Jeff Meggs is in studio with me. We heard from Haley Wooden, a student and full-time employee at Kwantlen Polytechnique. She commuted for years to school but got a car because transit was becoming unreliable to her. And Janet Moore is a Vancouver-based mom who took on a challenge that most people aren't quite ready to, and that is that she commutes primarily by bicycle, even with her kids, but does use transit from time to time. Rick, good morning to you.
Good morning. Yeah, I ended up taking transit for 2 years, and I was just standing all the time from Surrey to Vancouver, so I ended up buying a Chevy Volt, and now I don't pay toll or gas, and I commute from Surrey to Vancouver every day with no gas.
So you basically gave up on transit?
I couldn't commute in a car. It was too expensive by gas. I was paying $100 every 4 days. But when the Volt came out, it's $1.50 to charge it. And I don't buy gas anymore. It's unbelievable.
How does the travel time compare?
It's about the same.
Yeah. Is it really?
Sometimes it's really congested, but it's, to be honest, like you're always giving up your seat on the SkyTrain, so you're standing all the way there. And you're standing all the way back, so it wipes you out actually taking transit.
And how long a trip was it for you?
About an hour.
Yes, it's a long way to stand in a crowd.
Oh, yeah, because it's just packed like sardines on the SkyTrain.
Thanks, Rick. Tim, how about you?
Hi, I'm from Richmond. I used to drive like a madman. I drive a lot until the Canada line, and I converted it into transit. And since then, I love the Canada line. I use transit whenever possible. But two griefs with the Canada line. I mean, it's built not too long ago, and it's already way over capacity. It's from the very first station in Richmond. You can't get it, and you're packed. You can hardly get into the door. And now they're restricting people from even going up the stairs to the platform. It's so full. So it's just way over capacity.
Hey, Tim, we're getting some odd interference on your line, but I think we got the gist of the story. The Canada line has been a great success in one way, but as Tim said, it's already overcrowded.
Well, I know. I hear that, and I feel it as well. I mean, when you try to come down in the morning, say, to the downtown, I get on at Olympic Village, and sometimes I cannot get on. Translink is adamant, and the Canada line operators are adamant that the platforms are long enough. They're the smallest platforms I see in my travels. And that they can keep increasing the frequency of the trains. I am with a lot of riders who wish they would increase the frequency and make it easier to get on.
And do they have the capacity to do that?
They're adamant that they can keep adding on more, more frequency. They can buy more train sets. That the platforms are adequate size and so on. But I'm with your caller. I have to wonder some days when I see the way they're trying to manage crowds. And if they wind up with delays with the new Compass card, it could be very difficult for them on some of those trains.
You think the Compass card is going to be problematic?
Well, I think it will have problems. I think it's generally a good idea. I like the idea of being able to load up a card. All the modern systems do it. But, listening on social media and hearing what other people's experiences are, and I'm a beta tester, which means I get to carry it around and try to practice with it. I don't understand the tap-out thing. We're getting into the weeds a bit about transit stuff. But if they want to grow the system, we've heard from your callers this morning, it's got to be convenient, comfortable, a friendly ride. And if you're standing up and then having to tap off, delays on the platform and so on, that's going to be problematic.
Dean, good morning.
Good morning. Mass transit's the only way to go. You look at cities like New York and London, they've got transit systems that move people around. I live in the area city hall, and a while back they had a policy of shutting down their parking so that they would encourage people to carpool and use the car share program. They basically just put the city now, workers now park on the streets. And there's a church in the area where they fill their parking lot. So they probably agree that they've got to use their cars, too, to get around. There's so many easy ways of getting cars in and out of the city, too. like light synchronization. In Seattle, they get cars in and out a lot quicker by synchronizing the lights. It's incredible to think that a city is actually landlocked from the major arterial routes, and you have to use side streets to get into the downtown core. You could simplify that by putting in major routes in and out to get the cars in and out. And I've always been a proponent of having a train right down the number one highway. You've got an elevated line. The commuters stuck in their cars see this train going right past them, and they know they can get to work faster and cheaper by getting on this main train right down the number one highway.
Jeff Meigs?
Yeah, well, Larry Campbell, former Mayor Larry Campbell, talked about the Highway 1 option a number of times. It's never been taken up seriously by TransLink, but I understand the new Carwolf Exchange, which was put in after the Port Man opened, it's a park and ride out in Langley City, is way ahead of ridership expectations. You can get on a fast bus, get to a SkyTrain, and come downtown, leave your car in Langley, way ahead of what TransLink hoped. So I think it validates what the caller's saying.
Ben, good morning.
I just wanted to say, first of all, I used to take the transit, but now drive. But thanks to my boss, I take three guys with me, and he puts in for the tolls and increased our wages so we could pay for the gas. But I have to approve transit. My wife uses a service dog, and she has been refused service allowed on the bus several times because of that.
Well, that shouldn't happen.
Well, I think a lot of people would like to know who your boss is, you know, who will support you with you know, the tolls and a wage increase even. This is one of the issues that's lurking in the weeds, I think, around some of these transit investments, is people worry about the cost. But the Port Man tolls are an after-tax burden for a lot of low-income workers who've gone to live in Surrey and elsewhere because they want that lower housing cost, and now are finding they're paying a daily toll at whatever rate that may be. It's part of the backdrop to the whole discussion about transit investment. It will be better for the region if we do it and for our businesses, but also I think it'll really help people get back and forth to work in a more cost-effective way. And those tolls are a new part of the cost equation that you're pointing to that I think we're going to have to take into account.
What are your thoughts on this referendum?
Well, the mayors have said they hate the idea, and I can understand why. I have real qualms about it as well. It's extremely complicated to explain, but the premier said there's going to be one. So I don't think there's any point in hand-wringing about it. What's not clear to people is what are we going to vote on here? And a lot of people said, well, we've got to write the question. I hope that TransLink will respond to some of the concerns we're hearing from callers today and start talking about how their long-term plan, and it's not just a single project, it's got regional implications, will shorten travel time and improve the quality of life for people who are riding and making commuting options. It's not simply a transit plan. It's got to be a transportation kind of initiative that gives people more options. And they haven't defined it that way yet. I know they're working on it, but I think that's going to be critical to sell it.
Eric, good morning.
Yes. Hi, Bill.
Yes, go ahead.
Thanks for the topic here. Great, great topic. You know, I heard somebody on one of the shows yesterday on your channel suggest that they put tolls on all the bridges. And I got to tell you, even as a contractor, and I've got to drive, I've got a truck that I drive to work everywhere, I wouldn't mind paying a small toll on every bridge if I could see a reduction in the number of vehicles on the road. And that would be one way to do it, get people out of their vehicles and into mass transit, which I think should be free. We should pay for no transit, get people out of their cars as fast as possible and easy as possible, because it's been proven every time we build this expensive infrastructure, all it does is invite more vehicles onto what is perceived as empty lanes. You get more congestion.
We're having enough trouble trying to figure out how to pay for more and better transit. How do you
possibly make it
free?
You have to make it easy and desirable. It's got to be frequent. It's got to be comfortable. It's got to be cheap or free.
But
people are going to get in their cars. All your callers that are saying, I'm going to drive to work because it's as fast and more comfortable, well, take that away from them.
He's not the first caller to trumpet free transit, but is it possible?
Well, more than half the cost of transit is paid by the fare box right now. And those who are not using it right now would get a huge hit. I don't think there's any doubt about that. All the policymakers say to make it free is a big mistake, and we can leave the economists to argue that. But I think that we are close to the limit, and this has been said by Martin Crilly, who is the TransLink commissioner. And so we're close to the limit on how much we can increase fares in Metro, given how they've been going up. And the level they're at now is according to many experts, and certainly according to riders that I talked to, as much as they could bear. So the
taxpayers say the same thing.
Well, that's the problem right across the board. I don't think there will be a silver bullet solution. We saw some very capable students propose a 0.5% sales tax increase and say that was just a rounding error. And we know how voters felt about the HST. Are they going to say, well, okay, if it's half a point for transit, I'm all in favor? I'm not sure. I think people are going to want to see the product that they're being asked to pay for, and if they believe that's valuable, they will.
Kevin, good morning.
Good morning. I find these discussions always very interesting. As a disabled person, I completely rely on transit for independent travel. And frankly, I cannot use the rapid transit option any more comfortably. It's too crowded. And I think that this whole region is going to have to wake up one day and shake its head and say, if we're a world-class city, we need something better than a 25-year-old expo line and a couple of spider webs that go out in one direction here or there, and look at a comprehensive system. It's going to cost. We don't have any options, and frankly, sorry, Mayor Gregor, bicycles don't cut it.
Well, Mayor Gregor's never proposed bicycles as an alternative to rapid transit. We think that's critical, but the city can do a bit about bicycles. It's a regional problem to do the transit funding. The Vision Vancouver concern is that we want to be sure whatever option is put before the voters will be supported ultimately by the province. We've had too many occasions and on both sides of the political line where consensus emerged about some funding option, which Victoria then rejected. So this whole referendum process is a turning point, and more than one person who's in business and in urban studies and elsewhere said, if we don't get it this time, there could be 10-year delay before there's the kind of investment you're talking about.
My thanks to Jeff Meigs, to Janet Moore, and to Haley Wooden, and to you for your calls. The news is next. Then, why teach handwriting in the digital age? Stay tuned.